We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto-Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday. It's March 22nd. It is 2024. We have an 8-game NBA slate to talk about here on today's podcast. We got March Madness going. We had a wild, wild baseball game on Thursday morning. Yamamoto struggled. Musgrove struggled. The batters did not struggle. Just an absolutely wild way to start the season. Like, it was just, yeah, what was it, 15-11? Just a lot of runs scored, a lot of hits, a few errors, but yeah, just a really wild baseball game. But joined today by my good buddy Keith Eister, Eyes819. Keith, thanks for filling in for Chief. What's happening, my friend?
Yeah, lots of things happening. Talking a little NCAA tournament before the podcast got kicked off here. Both of us really excited about baseball. We both thought Yamamoto was going to be a stud despite struggling in spring training. Didn't look too great. So a little bit of concern there. I'm not concerned about the contract long-term necessarily. Like, obviously the travel over to Korea is insane. Just the pressure of your first major league start. Like, there's all kinds of things weighing on Yamamoto. That's not even to mention the Ohtani distraction stuff. Like, there was just crazy amounts of chaos going around the Dodgers clubhouse that morning. So I'm willing to give Yamamoto a pass on that one. We'll see what he looks like in his next start or two. It may take him a little while to get adjusted. I think he'll be okay, but he did not look great, that's for sure. Threw 40-something pitches in that inning, so a little surprised they left him out there that long. I mean, I get it. I know they used a bunch of relievers in their first game, and you can't just completely destroy your bullpen, but 40-something pitches for that prize of an asset was a little surprising to see. And just the performance altogether was surprising. But early season baseball, a little bit unpredictable. Lots of stuff going on with the NCAA tournament as well. But still, we have NBA to talk about. So let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah, my bracket's done. I don't have to worry about brackets anymore. Yours truly had Kentucky making a long run. That didn't work out. So big ups. There's like two or three big upsets. If you took the money line for the like dog and all the games today, you probably had a good day betting wise. There was a lot of good lines and stuff like that for college basketball. NBA going crazy. Yeezy said his boy is crushing. Landell having a really good game. I'm assuming that's who he mentioned because Yeezy loves him some Jock Landell. I think he was at like 14 and 10 last time I checked, so he was having a really good game. Our boy AU doing his thing. Josh Hart having a bust game, which it was eventually, I guess, going to happen. I just hate that it happened on the night that I bet his assist and rebound. But honestly, I've been so profitable with his assist rebound, I'm still not mad. Like, it's just been absolutely crushing. Fred VanVleet kept his assist going. I think he was at 10 last time I checked. So we hit that. And yeah, my NBA betting card wasn't great tonight, Keith. So ready to get back going here. Ellis kind of lost minutes out of nowhere for Sacramento. That really hurt my betting card. I had a couple props with him. So ready to finish the week off strong. We got Friday here. No NASCAR on Friday. So we got a doubleheader on Saturday at COTA and then Sunday for the road course racing. I'm mad, but I'm not like mad, you know. Josh Hart has been a prop genius here for the last month, it feels like. So I've made a lot more than I've lost on Josh Hart, so he can have a dud. Maybe his line will go back to like 14 and a half next game, so we'll take advantage of it again. All right, let's get started. 8 games. What's up, YouTube? I didn't really say what's up, but appreciate you all hanging out. We got Thunder and Raptors to get us started here. 228 total. Thunder, a 15-point favorite. Honestly, don't know if that's enough. I do think this is going to be one of the most lopsided games on the slate. Barnes is out, RJ's out, Buescher's out, Boucher is out, Carton's out, Poeltl's out, Quickley's out. Thunder, full strength. Toronto is one of the worst teams in the NBA right now. They are struggling with injuries. They're just absolutely awful defensively right now. We've seen them get blown out recently by the Kings, the Magic. They are just not playing good basketball, and Quickley being out just adds to it. They got worse now that Quickley's out, so... Yeah, I mean, if this game stays close, Holmgren, SGA, Williams, they all probably smash in this spot. Keith, I don't see a way this game stays close. I hate predicting blowouts, but I, again, think this is one of the most lopsided games we have on the slate.
Yeah, I'm completely with you there. Toronto is just atrocious, especially with these recent injuries that they're like, they were already one of the worst defensive teams since they made some trades. Now, like, there's just nothing left there. With Barrett and Quickley out also, like Sacramento just blew them out. And Sacramento is a team that lets bad teams stick around. We just like Washington just beat Sacramento outright before we jumped on here. I'm with you. Like, I love the matchup for Oklahoma City, but I don't see any way that Toronto stays in this game. So that makes it really difficult to pay up for any of these guys. And Oklahoma City's rotation is so deep that it's hard to even find guys that you want to play in a blowout. Like, it's guys like Cason Wallace, who is low usage most of the time. Maybe he starts finding his shot a little bit more in a blowout. Like, they have Hayward hanging around. I don't think he gets blowout run. Isaiah Joe potentially, but if the game's close, it's obviously SGA, it's Chet Holmgren, it's Jalen Williams. But in a blowout, I don't think those guys can pay off their price tags. So it's really tough to want to target this game. It's also one of the first games of the night on a pretty big slate where there's probably going to be a lot of news. We'll have the Boston news. Obviously, that's one of the first games also that we'll talk about next, but there's going to be injury news. It's late season NBA. So I'm not sure I want to lock up a ton of roster spots with these OKC guys who I feel like are pretty fragile given the chances of a blowout.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, on the Thunder side, If you're in the thought process with me and Keith here, as far as like this game just not staying close, I mean, you in large field tournaments only, I think you could take some shots on like Cason Wallace. I would assume he'd play a lot of the fourth quarter minutes if this game's not close. he's a guy that can fill the stat sheet. He's good defensively. He's someone that is capable of going big, big time fantasy wise. We've seen him in blowouts put up, you know, 30 plus fantasy points at times. So I think in large field stuff, you could take some shots on Case and Wallace. Cause I mean, as fast as they can get Williams off the floor, as fast as they can get Hayward off the floor, like they're going to, and like, why get SGA hurt in a game like this? So I really do think that Wallace in large field tournaments is someone you could sprinkle in, is the famous word there. There are a lot of studs to pay up for on this slate that have a lot of upside. So, yeah, I mean, we got Indy at Golden State. That game's fantastic. We're going to talk about it. So the Toronto side here, I mean, I think we wanted Nuora to play more minutes the other night. The game got out of hand. They took him off the floor. I mean, I don't mind potentially going back to him at 4,200 here, but Abaji is someone that, like, the minutes seem consistent enough. I don't know. This team is awful, and it's not Gary Trent. As much as I made fun of Gary Trent the other day, maybe it's a little bit of Gary Trent if you're into pain. But I mean, Kelly Olynyk, it's a great rebounding spot, but he doesn't rebound. So who's going to get the rebounds here for Toronto? Is it going to be, I don't know. I was struggling with it when I was looking at this.
Yeah. This Toronto team is really difficult to figure out. One of my favorite plays in that last game that Toronto played, I was with you on Gary Trent just because of the matchup against Sacramento. I like Jontay Porter a ton, and he left the game early with an illness. I think you can look back to him. Like, he had a significant role, assuming that, and it doesn't look like he's on their injury report. So
yeah, he's not even on the injury report for this game.
Left the game with an illness, just a bad break there. I think you can go back to him. He had a really solid role, was playing like 22 minutes a night for 4 or 5 consecutive games there. Oklahoma City doesn't rebound, like you said, and neither does Kelly Olynyk, really. So Jontay Porter is my favorite play on Toronto here at 4,100. I think Grady Dick is still playing enough minutes. You can try to chase that. He's just been shooting so bad here recently. I don't feel super comfortable with it. They're not running Bruce Brown out there. That might be blowout related. Maybe he plays 34 minutes in a close game here. But again, I don't trust him to keep it close. So guys like Brown, Olynyk, even Gary Trent, I'm a little bit concerned about the blowout kind of cutting into their minutes a little bit as well. So I'm looking down, and none of the guys are comfortable. I think you could chase Nuora a little bit. Surprised he didn't play as many minutes in the last game, but Jontay Porter is definitely my favorite play here on Toronto.
I love the Porter call. Yeah, the illness. I mean, you can't predict stuff like that. When someone leaves a game with an illness, chalk it up to a loss, and you move on, unfortunately. That is DFS at its finest, right? So my wife turned my TV off in the office earlier, if anybody was curious why I was standing up, and I couldn't find my remote. And the second squad pick of the ride for tonight is this squad ride is this Samford Kansas game, and the line moved before I could get in on the squad ride. So we're looking at a little live bet situation here to join the squad, you know, to get in on the squad ride. So
looks hoping like there's 9.5 out there right now. Are we jumping in?
Oh, I don't have 9.5 yet. 9.5.
I forgot you're in Florida. You only have one book to look at.
Yeah, I'm still 7.5.
I've got 9.5 hanging on DK. So
well, because they hit the 3. So I'm hoping Samford doesn't score here, and then Kansas comes down and scores again, and we can jump on. I can jump on Samford with a little bit better score here. But yeah, just, you know, a little insight into what we do for a living, right?
That never ends. Always grinding.
Always grinding. Anything, man. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Yeezy brought up a good point. Trent did play in the blowout the other night. Maybe he is kind of blowout proof, but I don't know if I trust that, just being honest. Boston at Detroit. We got a 224 total in this one. And 224 total. Boston's a 13-point favorite. Brown questionable. Drew out. Horford, Porzingis, and Tatum all questionable. Fontecchio out. Taj Gibson out. Grimes out. Stewart out. Thompson out. Umadi is out as well. Everybody. I mean, Detroit is now the injury bug team. They're banged up here. So let's go to Boston here first. What do we like here for the Celtics?
It's pretty hard to break down Boston at this point because they're going to rest somebody almost assuredly. They're pretty much locked into the one seed. Milwaukee's several games behind with not a whole lot left in the season. So Boston's going to be resting guys down the stretch. It's a matchup against Detroit. They should win. Even if they were to rest two or three of Tatum, Brown, and Porzingis, they should still easily be able to get this one. You have to wait and see who's sitting. The Hauser thing is a legitimate injury, so I can't imagine that he plays, but he's probably the least impactful of the questionable tags. Whoever's in, we're going to have interest in. I think you're going to have interest in Peyton Pritchard either way, and that's assuming at least one of Hauser, Brown are out. I still think Boston can blow Detroit out, even if like Tatum and Porzingis sit or Brown and Porzingis sit. Like, we'll just have to see who's active here. It's really tough to break down the night before because Boston's going to be resting people. We just don't know who it is. I don't even know if they know who it is yet. Just have to wait and see. Pritchard's price has come up to 5,100, so it's not as clear of a path, but like, dude just played 30 minutes plus in three straight games now. I think that's going to be a theme as we head down the stretch of the season here, just given their playoff seeding, they're pretty much locked in. So no reason for them to push guys. Wouldn't be surprised to see Brown or Tatum sit in this spot. That's going to elevate everybody else. Derek White's price is up, but guy put up a triple double in one of these rest spots just two games ago. Has been really good as long as one of Tatum or Brown is out. So I think Derek White's another guy you're looking at. Just a ton of interest in Boston. I just don't know who it is.
All right, I got the 9.5 line. Nice. I'm in. I'm officially riding with the squad. So there you go. 9.5 after some missed free throws. So gotta love it. As far as Boston for me, I think we just keep riding with Pritchard. You know, we know Drew's already out for this game. If anybody else sits, it's just a bump to him. I mean, looking at this, from the outside looking in, I mean, White is in a great spot if anybody else sits here, like you mentioned. So if Brown is out, do you think we could play White and Pritchard together? I really don't see why we couldn't in this matchup against Detroit. And if Porzingis and Horford both sit, do we fire up some Luke Kornet at 4,600? It is Detroit, so I don't mind. I think this is a good spot to attack Boston here.
Yeah, I completely agree. I do think Kornet's playable if you get Horford or Porzingis out.
I think both of them are out. Yeah.
If both of them are out, he's probably the best value on the slate, honestly. They still have Tillman and Kata, so he's not going to get necessarily – he's not locked into 35 minutes or anything. But he's 4,600. He's good per minute. I definitely think you're looking at Kornet if Horford and Porzingis are out. I don't even hate taking chances on him, just hoping he plays 20 minutes in a blowout. If one of them is out.
Yeah. The only thing about like the potential blowout is like, they could give the run to Tillman.
Or Katie even. Not like they're lacking bodies.
Right. No, I mean, if Porzingis, I would need Porzingis and Horford to both sit here. It seems like a really good rest spot for both of those guys. So,
yeah.
Detroit side, a lot of people out here for Detroit. Cunningham's playing. It's a tough matchup for him. Duren's playing. It's a tough matchup for him. Do we look at the value here for Detroit and say, hey, let's play some of these guys?
I think you have to, because they have so many guys out. Like, I don't want to pay up for Cade and Duren against Boston, or even Ivy, really, for that matter. But these guys, like, we're going to have a 3K starter here more than likely. Tosan is a guy we talked up a little bit last time. We mentioned it might be him. It ended up being him, and he played 30 minutes. The guy just didn't do a whole lot while he was out there. Only he finished with 30 minutes and 16 DK points. So I think he's generally going to be better than that per minute. I don't mind going back to him, assuming that he's in the starting lineup. It is worth noting that Metu has since joined this team, and he saw 22 minutes of run in that last game. I'm trying to, like, I don't know if he, like, he had to have played the four, right? Because they still have Wiseman behind Duren. So maybe Metu is in play at 3,700. I think you just have to keep taking shots on these cheap guys. There's going to be guys elevating with Umudie out now. He was a guy who was playing some minutes. Like, is it finally Marcus Sasser time? Like, I've been chasing this guy for, like, it seems like a week, and it has not worked out yet. So now he's not even like 3,800. He's 4,900. So I don't know. I don't hate Sasser if he's starting. I probably need him to start for me to keep chasing that, just because it's failed so miserably. But assuming Tosan's in the starting lineup, I think he's probably the strongest, safest play. I don't hate shots on Metu either.
So Metu was the guy that I wrote down in my, it was my Let's Get Weird GPP play today.
I like it.
I think he starts. I really do. With Umudie out, I would assume it'd be Metu that starts. He was kind of that. They kind of played for each other last game. So Metu played. He played like a really long stint in the third to fourth quarter. He checked in and played six, and then he played. So he played like a 10.5 minute stretch, and I think Ivy came in for him, and then like the game was out of hand, so they brought Metu back for the last few minutes. So Metu got a lot of second half run when Stanley Umudie got hurt. So I think Metu is a fantastic play today. And like, I hate the fact that he potentially starts and gets a lot of ownership here, but I wouldn't be shocked if they start like a Fournier and Metu still sees more run than Fournier. So I like Metu quite a bit. I think he's a great tournament play today. Potentially becomes chalky if he does start, but I don't see him coming out if the game's a blowout. I don't see a reason for them to take him out of the game. So it's a 10-day contract. So, I mean, seeing what they kind of got here, is this guy worth, you know, signing on for the rest of the season and, you know, potentially bringing back to start next year kind of thing. So Metu's young, right? He's still young, isn't he? Like, he's not
super, like, he hasn't been in the league that long, but I think he was overseas or something. He's like he's not low 20. He's like 27.
I was thinking like 26, 27.
Yeah, he's in there.
Right? Yeah, he's 27. So, I mean, yeah. It's a great evaluation spot. So give him a run. Why not give him a run? Yeah. All right, Memphis at San Antonio, 219 total here. San Antonio, a 6-point favorite. Bane, doubtful. Kennard out. Contra, questionable. Ja out. Pittman, questionable. Rose, Smart, Stevens, Williams out. Oh, one of the Williams is doubtful, but he's been playing. He's been sitting. Zach Collins is in concussion protocol. He is questionable. Desmond Bane, doubtful. Back to this whole what are we doing with Memphis thing. I mean, Pittman being questionable, it was like a contusion. He came back after missing like a month and played 27 minutes. So I assume if he plays 25 plus minutes. Fantastic spot. Fantastic spot against San Antonio. His price is up a little bit. Sante had a really good game the other night against Golden State. He shot really well, rebounded really well. I don't know what to do with this team. This seems ugly. They're missing so many people. But if Bane sits and Pittman plays, I have some interest in Pittman.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have interest in this team just because of the matchup against San Antonio. We saw Triple J put up like 35%+ usage without Desmond Bane. It's a tough matchup with Wemby on the other side, but I think he has crazy ceiling in this spot. I like the Pippen call as well. I think he plays over Goodwin. If Goodwin ends up starting, he's down to 4K now. Like, you have to take a look at that. I have interest. Let's just put it this way. Whoever starts at point guard, we have interest in. Pippen is 5,200. Goodwin's 4K. And Giroux is 3,800. One of those three is going to start at the point, and they're going to be very much in play in this spot. I'm going to spend up on Jackson Jr. a little bit as well. I can't pass up 35% usage, 8,300, a matchup against a really fast-paced Spurs team. GG Jackson has been playing really solid. So as long as Vince Williams remains out, I think he's going to have a role here. He's been playing a ton of minutes here recently, up to 6,200. But in this matchup, if Wemby's able to shut down Jaren Jackson, I think GG could have a really good game. I don't hate Aldama even. Like, it's not comfortable trying to figure out this Memphis team, but I think you have to try a little bit, even on a big slate, just because of the matchup against San Antonio.
Yeah, gosh, as Memphis has kind of been the Spurs of last season, like, you just really don't get a good taste in your mouth when playing anybody from this team.
It's tough to trust the rotation is the biggest problem. And the other thing is, like, we never know the starting lineup. Like, at lock, we're not going to know the starting lineup. You're not going to know it until 7:30. So you have to be willing to hang around and adjust your lineups. Like, luckily, it's an early game. A lot of times Memphis plays later on in the slate. Luckily, it's in the second set of games. So it's not as big of an issue on this slate. And for that reason, I think you take advantage of that. And, like, I know we're interested in the point guard. I'm interested in Triple J either way. I think I have interest in GG Jackson either way. I assume he'll be in that starting lineup.
All right. San Antonio side, obviously, you know, Wemby is a potential spend up. Kind of had a bad game against Dallas. 12, 6, 1, 3, 11. Bad game. Only 43 fantasy points.
Still has six blocks.
Yeah, I mean, just say it somewhat sarcastically. He's a spend up here. This game should be competitive. I mean, San Antonio is a 6-point favorite at home in this one. When we're looking at the spend ups on the slate, I don't necessarily love SGA. I think, you know, AD and LeBron are interesting. We'll talk about that. Halliburton, Zion, Maxey, like, these are the types of guys. You know, the Clippers are in a great spot. Yeah, I mean, overall for me here, it's Wemby as a definite like top end spend up. I don't really love playing anybody else from San Antonio.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And Memphis is like still decent on defense somehow. I don't know if that's just their coaching scheme or what it is, but despite how injured they've been the entire season, they're still decent on defense. So Wemby has immense upside anytime he's on the court. So I definitely like going there. Vassell would probably be the other guy, but that's like, now that his price is up above 7K, I don't even love that. It's probably Wemby or nothing here for me on San Antonio.
All right, moving on. New Orleans at Miami, 206.5 total. Miami a 4.5-point favorite. Sorry, getting distracted because I just realized that Miami is a 4.5-point favorite. I think I want the Miami side of this game. Oh, yeah, you can get Miami -3 right now. I like that. Hey, there you go. Live bet. Not a live game bet, but somebody down for Kansas. Somebody just got hurt. New Orleans here. Oh, back-to-back for New Orleans. Ingram left the game, did not come back. One of the reasons that I like the Miami line here. It was a knee, and he had to get, like, carried off the floor. I would not be shocked if he misses this game. I would assume he misses this game. No reason for New Orleans to rush Ingram back here. They need him for the run. What are we doing with the Pelicans here?
There's a situation here where Zion is my favorite play on the entire slate, and that's if Ingram sits and if Bam Adebayo sits. I believe he's still questionable. Bam is still questionable. He missed the last game. if Bam is in there, it's a wildly different matchup than if Bam sits. So Zion, if Ingram is out and Bam is out, is the best play on the slate, in my opinion, at 8,800. If Bam is in there and Ingram is out, I still have slight interest in Zion. If Ingram and Bam both play, I have no interest in anybody in this entire game, pretty much. So injury report matters here for me. The Ingram thing on the Pelican side is huge. Zion gets a big bump without Ingram. CJ gets a big bump. I think he's playable at 6,500. And then we're looking at somebody like Trey Murphy probably stepping into the starting lineup. He's been playing a bunch recently anyway. He's up to 6K. He's been playing well. So that's still a tough ask for Murphy, even if Ingram sits. He's still playable, don't get me wrong. Similar story with Herb Jones. He's just kind of priced appropriately. The matchup not great against Miami. So I have small interest in Murphy and Herb Jones, but not a ton. JoVale, they're just not running him out there at all. I don't think I can touch him even without Ingram. It's Zion's my first look for sure, and then give me a sprinkle of CJ, Murphy, and Jones if Ingram misses.
Yeah, I mean, if Ingram's out, I love the Zion call. Trey Murphy's like right on that price point for me. If Ingram's out, do we think Zion or Larry Nance plays extra minutes here? Easy, just ask Nance in chat too.
Nance has like, just been playing ahead of JoVale recently anyway.
I know.
I don't trust it to continue. Like, the minute you jump on Larry Nance is the minute he plays 18 minutes and you're furious. It's just so tilting to try to chase this big man situation.
Yeah, we ran them both off the court in the Magic game. Valanciunas and Nance got ran off the court. My Magic beat up on New Orleans. It wasn't fun. It was great for the Magic, but yeah, not good for New Orleans fans. Yeah, I mean, Murphy's right at that price point where I feel like if Ingram's out, you're taking some shots. He does get a nice bump. Him and Zion get the biggest bumps here. I don't know how much I would play CJ. CJ's just been like just a scorer recently, and I don't know, like, this isn't a great assist spot. Like, Miami doesn't give up a ton of assists. So, yeah, I think overall I would lean towards Zion and Murphy and maybe a few sprinkles of a guy like Herb Jones here. Miami side, injury report matters. We know Robinson and Hero already ruled out. Bam, questionable. What are we doing with the Heat here?
Yeah, it's a really tough matchup for them, too. New Orleans has been just, like, locked down on defense recently. If Ingram is out, maybe that – both teams. If Ingram is out, maybe that impacts them a little bit. Like I said, if Bam is in there, I don't have a ton of interest in this game overall. If Bam misses, Jimmy is the guy I think I'm going to, even with the tough matchup. Just saw him smash without Bam in a tough matchup against Cleveland in the last game, so – think you can certainly go there. Don't even hate chasing a little Terry Rozier, even though I don't love the price tag there. The center situation is not comfortable either. Thomas Bryant is the guy that got the start in the last game, only played 15 minutes. We've seen that multiple times. And even Orlando Robinson only played 13. So they just went small without Bam. Bam out really doesn't do anything for me on Miami outside of Butler, maybe a pinch of Rozier. It's really the Zion interest from the other side that I have. If Bam is out, I think just the Zion Jimmy stack might be my favorite way to play this game if Bam is out.
Yeah, Thomas Bryant started the other night and only played like 15 minutes. They went somewhat small. Jovic, we should probably talk about Jovic if Bam sits. Jovic, he played a lot of the five in that game. They just didn't use Thomas Bryant a lot. They used Jaquez and Martin with Jovic and Rozier and Butler. And I would assume they do the same thing here. I just don't think they want to get Thomas Bryant or Orlando Robinson a ton of minutes. And we see them play more small ball than anything else in this one. And I think that benefits a guy like Nikola Jovic a lot here at 4,300, even in a tougher matchup. So
I do want to revisit one thing on the Pelicans that we just talked about. If Bam is out, I think Nance is pretty safe to play mid-20s minutes. Like, they're not
going to run. Yeah, because he'd match up really well with Jovic.
With Jovic, yep. I think you're safe to play Nance if Bam is out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that size-wise, I don't think they're going to get Robinson or these guys a ton of minutes. Robinson did play really well against Cleveland the other night, so maybe they give him a little bit extra run. If Robinson starts over Thomas Bryant, do we take some shots on Orlando Robinson here?
At 3,200, I think you have to, just because, like, I would think he'd be safe for like 16 to 18, like minimum. And if you get 24 out of him at 3,200, he should smash. So I'd be interested if he's starting.
Only if he starts, though. I could see them. I could see both teams just saying, you know, Jovic against Nance, and let's use smaller lineups both ways. Patty Mills played.
Yeah, well, that, I guess that's something we have to talk about, right?
Like 25 minutes the other night.
Grabs a start out of nowhere. Like, what year is this?
Yeah.
I mean, he's 3,600. If he starts again, you have to have
that's back-to-back games with over 20 minutes, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have a ton of interest in him. I would hope he'd get like some ownership and I could fade him and not worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the shooter without Duncan Robinson, right? Like, they just don't have much shooting outside of Rozier. Martin, I guess, a little bit, but
how bad are you when you get to the times where you're like, hey, Patty Mills is our shooter.
Yeah.
Our shooter is Patty Mills. yeah, I mean, whatever, I guess. Gosh, I love NBA. Listen, 6 days, everybody, 6 days. The real sport daily grind is back. I like NBA. I like NBA playoffs. I just, all of the like rotation and people resting and like all that stuff, I understand that it is like very necessary for NBA teams. It is the worst thing for DFS, and it is such a mental struggle because it is exhausting. And it has nothing, I have nothing negative about the NBA. It's just, and I get it. Like, you have to make sure you guys are healthy for the playoffs. But, like, playoffs roll around, and I know, like, these guys are going to all play 35-plus minutes. Let's go. Anyway.
Yeah, the last month of the season is definitely a grind, and boy, are we in it.
I'm not. I'm in it for one more week. Cleveland at Minnesota, 211.5. Minnesota 5.5-point favorite, and yes, we are going to be switching over to MLB. If there's a small MLB day and a big NBA day, we'll definitely do NBA, but we're, for the most part, going to be switching over to MLB starting next Thursday. Mitchell out, Mobley out, Strus out, Wade out, Edwards and Gobert and Reed, questionable cat out for Minnesota. We'll go Cleveland here first. Still missing some key pieces here for Cleveland. What are we doing with the Cavs here?
Finally got the big Jared Allen game in this injury situation. Had been a little bit for that, but now he gets a really tough matchup. And that, assuming that Gobert plays, it's a difficult matchup for Allen. I mean, again, like, it depends on what the Minnesota side looks like, because if Gobert is in there, I don't love this game overall. Like, both teams are shorthanded, but both are still pretty decent on defense. We've seen LeVert step up even more than Darius Garland, I would say, in the absence of Donovan Mitchell. So I think I'd almost lean LeVert over Garland, which is just, it's weird to say, but that's just been the reality here recently. Niang is 4,600. He's still playable at that price in this situation. Okoro's going to play big minutes. We know he doesn't do a ton while he's out there. Sam Merrill just doesn't feel like it's going to happen at this point. Maybe it's just because I keep chasing him to have the hot shooting night. This matchup against Minnesota is not the spot. I think that I try to do that, but I don't know. If Gobert is out, it's different. Then I love Jared Allen. If Gobert is in there, I'm lukewarm at best on Allen, and I'd play LeVert over him more times than not. And Garland, I don't know what to do with Garland at this point. Just, he can't seem to find a ceiling unless Donovan Mitchell is on the court, which is weird, but I guess it makes sense. He's with Mitchell creating, he finds Garland more open shots, but I'm out on Garland for the moment, I think, especially in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm out on Garland. I like LeVert. I think LeVert is the guy you keep playing here. I think in large field tournaments, you could take some shots on Allen just because, I mean, he does have the upside to take advantage of. A lot of injuries, so no props out for this game. If Niang comes in at 10.5 points again, just keep pounding it. I mean, we've been riding this, and it's been very profitable for the last 3 or 4 games. I think we bet it the last 3 times. I think we just keep riding it if it's at 10.5. I think that with these guys out, I cut my leg and it was bleeding. If these guys are out, I think you keep going to Niang at over 10.5 points. It's not up yet. I was just looking. I looked on our back end, like scores and odds stuff, and it's not up yet. Anyway. Minnesota side of this game, it all kind of depends on what happens here. If Edwards, Gobert, and Reed all play, I don't really have a ton of interest in Minnesota at these prices. I will say, like, if Gobert plays and he plays his normal amount of minutes, the dude is going to smash in the rebounds. And with Cat out, you know, we kind of saw that anyway. If Gobert sits and Reed plays, you take some shots on Reed. If they all sit, then the value doors are opened up here. If Reed and Gobert are both out, I think you got to go back to Garza. He only played like 22 minutes last the other night, but it was very efficient.
That's plenty. Yep.
Yeah, very efficient. Finally, the TJ Warren experiment is over. I would definitely take some shots on McDaniels if people sit. He had a really good game the other night as well. He's 4,800. I talked about him on Expert Survey the other day. What are your thoughts on Minnesota?
Yeah, the injury situations matter for sure. Ant plays through almost everything, so I expect him to play. I think Gobert and Nas are definitely truly questionable. We've seen them miss games here recently. So if Gobert's in there, I agree, you can play him. He's been playing huge minutes. If he sits, Nas Reed's the next man up. It's an easy pivot down, just $300. That seems like an exorbitant price to play for Nas Reed, but anytime Gobert is out, we've seen this man put up like 50 plus DK points. So he's absolutely worth that price tag if Gobert sits. If they're both out, then I agree. It's Garza. He's still too cheap. He's a great per minute producer. Don't care about the tough matchup against Allen. Like 20, 22 minutes is totally fine for me at 4,100. Love the McDaniels call as well. I think definitely a guy that you can look to. I actually went a bunch of Kyle Anderson last time. Both these guys were out. Did not work out well. I still think you can play Anderson at 5,400. I don't love the matchup, and that's assuming Gobert and Reed both out. Only situation I'd consider him. He had a rough game. I'd go back to that. Alexander Walker also played a ton of minutes in that situation. He did not do anything while he was out there, but I think you could go back to that as well. But Garza would be by far the preferred cheap play.
Yeah. Gotta love it. Love NBA. And Alexander Walker keeps getting minutes because he's good on defense. Overall, I don't know if I'd play him. I would need everybody to sit before I start getting exposure to Alexander Walker. All right, Clippers and Portland. We go from 8 o'clock, 7 and 8 o'clock games. It's a weird slate. You got 2 7 o'clock, 3 8 o'clock, and then I think 3 after 10. So interesting slate in that aspect of things, but always fun. Derek, I agree. Josh Hart's a bum. Very profitable for us. Recent, just had one of those games. I mean, he has 2 rebounds and 1 assist. You're not hitting your props when you do that. You're not having a good DFS night either. Clippers a 13-point favorite. Man in power, questionable. Westbrook's out. Brogdon, Sharp, Williams out. Grant, doubtful. Tybal, questionable on the other side of this game here. So going to the Clippers here first. What do we like here for LA?
LA is a tough team to play. You add in a matchup against Portland, who is extremely shorthanded and very bad at basketball, even when they aren't shorthanded. I don't know. I don't think I try to figure out which one of Kawhi, Harden, and Paul George smash. It's never a fun thing to figure out anyway, even in great matchups. Not that this isn't a good matchup. Portland doesn't play defense, but it feels like a slow-paced game. Feels like the Clippers blow them out here. I don't think I'm necessarily chasing anything. The problem, like, they're not 9K anymore is the only problem. Like, they're now 8,600 for Kawhi, 85 for Harden, and 84 for PG. So the prices are starting to get to the point where one of them probably gets there in this game. I just don't know which one it's going to be, which is the problem. I don't know. The other thing is the injury situation. If Mann and Powell are out again, it was Coffey that jumped into the starting lineup in the last one. He's a very low per minute guy. I don't, even at 3,700 in this matchup, I'm not sure I have a ton of interest there. We saw Bones Highland kind of go away as well. So even if injuries come here, I just don't have a ton of interest in the Clippers. And it's like, it's a great matchup. I don't know what to do with this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's James Harden. I think that's who we take shots on. But you're definitely worried about this game not staying close. Like, I think James Harden with, and this is assuming that like Powell and Mann play, like you said, Coffey slid in the lineup the other night. He's just going to stand in the corner. So I think that is going to benefit a guy like James Harden. James Harden's going to have the ball in his hands a lot in this game. We saw him have 14 assists. I think he had 19 or 20 is what I remember looking at for like a potential assist in that game against Portland. James Harden, this game was at Portland. This game's back at Portland. Very odd scheduling, but it is what it is. But yeah, I think you go back to James Harden here. That's really it. I mean, Zubac had a big game, man. He was owning Portland the other night. I don't know if I chased that or not. Going to the Portland side, I was very high on Ayton the other night. He stunk. He was awful. Scoot Henderson played 35 minutes. I think that's where I look at here, 5,400, if he's going to get that type of run. We saw Banton lose some minutes just overall. So I really do think, like, Scoot, Chris Murray had a good game. I don't know how much I trust that. If you like Payne, you go back to Ayton. I mean, it's the same exact spot. I don't know how much Payne I want with DeAndre Ayton, though.
Yeah, I wasn't buying what Ayton was doing, but then he started to do it for like 2 weeks, and it's like, okay, I guess we have to pay attention to DeAndre Ayton now. The second I jump on, he puts up just a massive dud.
I remember that pain.
Yep. Feels familiar. Scoot Henderson, I am in complete agreement, is the easy click here. Not a great matchup, but the minutes are there. He's still underpriced for this starting point guard role that he's jumped into. Now that we've seen that 35-minute game, I feel confident that the minutes restriction is fully gone. When he started, it only played 30. It was like, okay, that still feels like a little bit of a restriction. 35, we're talking now. I can definitely play Scoot at 5,400. Banton, the minutes were interesting. Like, we've seen him come off the bench and play 30-plus before. So 28 in the last game, I don't hate taking some shots on Banton. I think people are going to shy away from that, seeing the minutes come down. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets hot and is scoring a bunch of points. They just leave him out there for a couple, 6 or 7 extra minutes, and he ends up playing 32 in this spot. So Banton, I think, is still playable at 5,600. I'm with you. I'm not chasing the Chris Murray thing. Nobody else here is really comfortable. Kamara doesn't do enough while he's out there. Jabari Walker's minutes have been capped here recently. So I think it's Scoot for me first. It's probably Banton second. And if you want to keep chasing Ayton, I'd be fine with that, but I don't think I'll do it.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, moving on. Two games left here. Hey, just if anybody is curious, the Samford Bulldogs are not a good basketball team. and Kansas is not missing a shot. So, hey, we're on the squad ride. Woo!
It's early yet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're right. It's early. You could double down and get them at plus 15 and a half right now. So there you go. Yeah. I'm not going to, though. Kansas is not missing. Maybe I do it. All right. I did it. I took 15 and a half.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was considering it, too.
Really quick before we get into this, like, Golden State Indy game. Like, they're not going to keep shooting this good. That was my thinking, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they could continue to shoot well, but man, they have started the game just like absolutely. I don't know what the overall numbers are, but I've been watching out of the corner of my eye, and they just haven't missed a shot to start, it feels like. So, yeah. See, they're 3 for 3 from 3-point line, and their starters are 4 for 5, 4 for 4, 3 for 3, 1 for 1, 0 for 1, and the bench guy is 2 for 3. You're not going to keep shooting like 80%. So
yeah,
all right, I'm on. Why not? It's only money, right? Just kidding. I love money. Indiana at Golden State. I think this is the game of the night. 237.5 total. Warriors are 4.5-point favorite. Mathurin out. Topping questionable. Moody questionable. Halliburton's 9K. It's a fantastic spot. His ceiling's been capped. Do we take shots on Halliburton in this incredible spot? Do we take shots on Siakam in this incredible spot? What are we doing with the Pacers here? We saw Isaiah Jackson just absolutely destroy Detroit the other night, and Miles Turner just didn't come back on the floor a lot. Pacers, great spot. What are we doing?
Oh, Tyrese Halliburton. I have been off the last couple of games. I finally jumped off. I was chasing him ever since he came back from the injury, chasing that ceiling game, being like, this guy is awesome. We should be paying $10K for him. Hasn't come. Finally jumped off. I think I'm going to stay out on this one. It is a great spot, great game environment. I think I'm just going to play Siakam and save the money, save the 1,200. I think Miles Turner is a solid play. Always a guy that can find a ceiling. Has been really bad the last couple of games, but there's certainly 40 DK points in him at 6,500. I'd certainly be interested in that. I don't think I'm chasing Isaiah Jackson unless Jalen Smith were to be ruled out. I don't ever trust that they're not just going to go ahead and flip those guys in the rotation again. So I don't think I'm chasing the Jackson game. I'm still interested in McConnell. He's going to play his 20 to 22 minutes, and the dude he comes in and he chucks and he gets assists. He just produces when he's out there. So 4,600 for McConnell. I'm certainly in on that. It's the Halliburton thing that I need to see it from him first before I chase it.
Yeah, I think I'm on Halliburton here. I like this spot a lot. And Keith, he had 17 fantasy points in the first quarter and 23 in the third quarter. He had 40 fantasy points in the first and third quarter, played very seldom in the second quarter, did not check back in after he left in the third quarter because of the blowout against Detroit. So I think this game stays close. And I've been off of Halliburton. I'm with you. I have. But I feel like the big game is coming. I really do.
He was flirting with it for sure. I will give you that.
Yeah. I feel like this is the spot. This is the spot.
You might be right.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I do like the idea of playing some Siakam or Turner. Turner just had a bad game, and I was on Turner the other day, just had a bad game. It happens. I think you will jump on Halliburton in the playoffs. You're darn right about that. But yeah, I mean, I like Siakam. I like Halliburton a lot for tournaments. TJ McConnell is always a great tournament play. You're hoping that he gets 24 minutes instead of 20, but like you said, he comes out and he chucks. he's playing on that second unit with like Shepherd, Toppin, McDermott, Jackson. Yeah. Like he's the guy on that second unit. The Golden State side, another guy that I've kind of been off here is Steph, but I think this is a great Steph spot. I think he's one of the spend ups on this slate to get different if you're not playing Wimby. I think Kuminga's okay. Draymond's okay. I do think like this is the type of game that Draymond could like really perform well. So I don't mind playing some Draymond here, but I really do think this is a Steph spot. I think Steph has a good game, and I really wish they were giving Jackson Davis more minutes.
Yeah, Steph is under 9K, so I'm definitely interested there. The blowout over Memphis, he only played 24 minutes. He played 33. Like, he hasn't been back from this injury very long, so he hasn't had much of an opportunity to grab a ceiling. That's what's driving the price down. That blowout in the last game, I think, definitely just the price is in a free fall right now, and there's nothing wrong with him. He just hasn't had the opportunity just because of the blowout. So I think 8,600 for Steph and a great matchup with Indiana here is very enticing. I like the Draymond call as well. I certainly grab a couple of shares there. I like playing bigs against Indiana. Turner's more of a shot blocker than he is a defender, so definitely don't mind Draymond. Kuminga, kind of the same thing. Like, the price tag is up there on Kuminga, but he still has some ceiling here. We saw it in that blowout against Memphis. He's been playing the minutes. I think he's solid. Podziemski at 5,500, I think. I don't know if I trust the minutes completely. They've come down a little bit the last two games. Maybe blowout related in that Memphis game, but I think he can get like 28 to 30 minutes here at 5,500. I don't mind some shots in a great game environment. Agree with you on Jackson Davis. If I knew he was getting like, if he could play 26 minutes, which he has been, but I don't know if I fully trust it. Dude's so good per minute. I'd have a ton of interest in Jackson Davis, but there's certainly risk with the minutes there. Steph's my favorite by far. I think I go Draymond next, then Kuminga. But Jackson Davis is a deep tournament play. I'm certainly on board with that.
You know who else I like in this spot matchup-wise is Wiggins. He's cheap. It's a good wing matchup against the Pacers. I could see playing a little bit of Wiggins here as well. 29 minutes the other night. His shot attempts, double digits in three of his last four games. So his rebounding is way up right now. I think this is a sneaky good spot for Wiggins. Famous last words. Philadelphia at L.A., 227.5 total here. Lakers a 9-point favorite. Covington and Bede, Melton out. Tobias questionable. LeBron questionable. Vanderbilt, Vincent Wood out. And Anthony Davis not even on the injury report here. He's probable to play this one. Going Philly first. Tobias keeps mattering for me. If Tobias is out, I think that you take shots on Maxey. If Tobias plays, I think you take shots on Maxey. Love this spot for Maxey. I like Oubre a lot if Tobias sits. Tobias practiced on Thursday. I assume Tobias comes back and plays in this game. They obviously need to win every single game right now. What are your thoughts here on Philly?
Yeah, Tobias matters for me also because I absolutely love Kelly Oubre if he's out, and I love Tyrese Maxey if he is out. Those are the two guys I would want to jam in a ton. I have slight interest in them both either way. I don't want to play Tobias, I don't think, just coming off the injury. Not sure what the minutes will look like. But it's slight interest if Tobias is in there. Maxey and Oubre, two of my favorite plays on the slate if he is out. I don't think I need to mess with a ton else. Like, Hield hasn't been seeing the minutes. The center situation is always tough to figure out. We saw Paul Reed play up to 28 minutes again, but that's certainly not guaranteed. We've seen Bamba hover between like 18 and 26. Like, if we're getting, you get the high end outcome of either one of those big men, and they could absolutely smash here, but I don't think I'm chasing it against the Lakers. It's Oubre and Maxey for me, and the amount of exposure will depend on Tobias in or out.
Random thought. Kyle Lowry, he only played 25 minutes against Phoenix. The game wasn't necessarily that close. If we kind of, I mean, this game has a 9-point spread, but if we're projecting this game to stay somewhat close, do we think Lowry plays 28 to 32 minutes in this game at 4,700?
I do think he'll play the minutes. It's just, is he going to get enough done in those minutes is my biggest concern. I don't hate it. Like, he has more upside than we're used to, than what we saw with Miami. That he's proven that. I don't hate it at 4,700, but don't love it either.
Yeah. All right. Maybe overthinking this spot too much. All right, Lakers side of this one. Who's slowing down Anthony Davis in this game?
Good question. Probably no one.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about like potential spend-ups. I think Anthony Davis smashes today. I think this is a phenomenal Anthony Davis spot. If they try to stick like Paul Reed on Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis is going to have a field day. If Philly was smart, I'm not a GM or a coach or anything, but if Philly was smart, they'd put Mo Bamba on AD today, but they're not going to. I think AD crushes.
I mean, they're going to start with Bamba on him, but he probably picks up three fouls in the first 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree. This is an AD smash spot. He is easily my favorite play as well, especially now that LeBron is up there right next to him in price. Like, I think AD just has so much more ceiling. I think the matchup is great for AD as well. So I'm completely with you there. I'll have some LeBron too, but like because they're so closely priced, I'll chase the ceiling with AD. D'Angelo Russell is the other guy that we have to talk about because Philly has been awful on defense and Russell just keeps finding ceiling games. I don't know exactly where they're coming from. He's doing it in all kinds of different ways, just racking up assists like crazy here of late. So like D'Angelo Russell at 7,300 playing alongside AD and LeBron is not something I thought I would be recommending this NBA season, but here we are. He just keeps doing it. So you have to pay attention to it. D'Angelo Russell very much in play too.
Yeah. I'm quickly trying to pull up cause I'm just overall curious on the potential assists over the last, let's look at the last five games for Russell. So he's converting at a very high rate as far as his assists. Like he's averaging 8.8, but he's getting 12.2 potential assists per game. So he's converting at a pretty high clip. His adjusted assist rate's at actually like 11.2. So yeah, I mean, I think Russell is an interesting call. I'd be interested to see what his assist prop opens up at, because that's a really solid like potential assist number and assist rate. So yeah, doing well. Balling out. You love to see it. D'Angelo Russell. I like that call. Anything else before we move on here?
Nope. I think that's it for the Lakers.
All right. Morning grind game. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you got?
I'm going to go Jontay Porter, 4,100. Love the rebounding spot for him against Oklahoma City. Illness was a fluke thing. I think he's back to his 22-minute role here.
Yeah, I like that. If Porzingis and Horford sit, I love Luke Kornet today. But I will say, like, without knowing, I'm going to go to my boy Niang for Cleveland. We kind of already know the situation for the Cavs right now injury-wise. Mitchell's going to continue to be out. Strus and Wade are out. Niang should continue to play 30-plus minutes. He's shooting well. Like, if he could just pick up, like, 4 or 5 extra rebounds, you know it eventually happens. So, I like Niang here. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who is your Bucks here or bust here?
I'm going to go – give me Kawhi Leonard. I think there's just too many paths for him to not get it done. The blowout is a big risk. We've seen – Harden pick it up here recently. Paul George has been playing great as well. So I think Kawhi has a little bit lower ceiling than he's shown over the past month or so. I'll go Kawhi.
Let your lineups tell a story. If you think this game stays close, smash this guy. Like if you're building some lineups where you think this game stays close, smash this guy. I don't think this game's going to stay close. I'm out on SGA today. I play SGA religiously. I think this is a spot where this game is just not going to stay close enough. So I'm out on SGA. Favorite 6X play. Who do you got?
I think Boston is going to keep resting some guys. And when they have been doing that, Derek White has been absolutely smashing. Gets an awesome matchup against Detroit. I will take Derek White today.
I'm going to go way up to the top today. I try to find mid-range most days, but I love Anthony Davis today. I think that he just absolutely smashes on the slate. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got for us?
I'm going to go Delano Banton. Saw his minutes come down in that last game. Simons was in there but didn't play well. We saw Scoot Henderson play 35 minutes. That could certainly happen again, and it's a tough matchup against the Clippers. But I think Banton, like in a blowout, I think he'd get extra run. I think there's a chance he could just get hot shooting, and they give him a little bit of extra run. So at that price point, I still have interest in Banton.
I already said mine. I'm going to go to Metu, only 22 minutes the other night, but I think there's opportunity for him to start in this game and play really solid minutes. I kind of want Fournier to start and Metu to come off the bench. I like Metu a lot today. Betting portion of the show. Any pick'em or player props that you like here?
That was a late replacement here, so didn't have much time to look through it. Didn't really see anything that was jumping out as a must bet right away. So didn't have anything prepared. Just looking through the board right now. Nothing really grabbing me right away. I don't think I have anything tonight.
Yeah, I'd rather, like, I tell you, and I know I tell all the hosts, if you don't have anything, don't give out anything. That is how we keep our reputation. I appreciate you just being honest. That's what we do. I do have one that I really like today, and it just kind of goes to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. I like Steph Curry over 26.5 points. I think that this is a really good game just in general. So I'm going to go to Steph here to get the job done. I think this game stays super competitive, and this is just like this game screams Steph Curry scoring a lot. He put up 42 actual points the other night, or the last time these two teams played, and that was in Indy. That wasn't even at home here. So, yeah, shot 15 for 22. He hit 11 threes against them in their own building. Comes back home here. Think Steph is going to be cooking. All right, Keith, that's going to wrap it up. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I believe the next time we will be on, we will be talking baseball. So looking extremely forward to that. Cannot wait.
Yeah, Keith gets the opening day podcast this year. So look at that. You know, you become a regular co-host and doing all the fill-in stuff that you get opening day baseball. Saw that we have some baseball shows for day of baseball, Grinders Live and Crunch Time. So just a ton of fun. I mean, I'm super happy that baseball is right around the corner. I have some goals, and I'm going to be doing a lot of betting content for Scores and Odds this year as well for baseball. I know Keith does a lot of stuff over there, but I am so, so, so pumped for baseball. That's going to wrap it up for Friday. We're back Monday. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you again on Monday.